Hey, if you will remain standing, our scripture comes from 1 Peter. Near the end of your Bibles. If you'll take a Bible and turn there with me, it'll be up on the screen as well. So, giving our hearts to hear God's word. To the elders among you, Peter writes. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. And in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To Him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we give you thanks that you give us your word. We confess that we cannot live by human nourishment alone, by bread alone. We live by every word that comes to us from your mouth. So open today our ears, our minds, and our hearts that we could receive and live in your living word, who is Jesus. Amen. Amen. They say the best defense is a good offense. Right, the best defense is a good offense. That's good in football, it's good in business or legal challenges, it's good in military strategy, if we read today's headlines, right? The best defense is a good offense. I think that also applies to our life in faith, our life in Christ, our life in the church that Jesus is building. The church that Jesus is building, make no mistake. There's not a church. If anybody else is building it, it's not a church. The church Jesus is building depends on this fact that the best defense is a good offense. If He's going to build it here, if He's going to prepare us for heaven, the best defense is a good offense. All throughout 1 Peter, we've heard this lesson, heard this word again and again, that the challenges we face give us the opportunity for our faith to be tested, our faith in Christ to be forged. Like the heat proves the genuineness of gold, the external pressures or the internal pressures of our lives give us the opportunity for Christ to forge something good, to reveal something true and genuine in our lives. So the good offense, as we get here to the end, nearing the end of 1 Peter, the good offense I want you to see is this. It's the gift of connection in the body of Christ. The good offense is the gift of connection in the body of Christ. In this reading, this study, I have studied 1 Peter, I've taught 1 Peter, I've preached from 1 Peter before, but this reading, this study through 1 Peter is different for me. 1 Peter y'all, Peter lays out a lot of great doctrine. He lays out a lot of great truth about the supremacy of Christ. He highlights the sacrifice of Christ, the blood of Christ that buys salvation, that atones for our sins, and gives us confidence as we enter into a relationship with the Father. But there is, and I think I've touched on that faithfully over the last several weeks, but there is something else Peter is getting at. It's like the subtext of the entire letter. Peter wants us to grasp something that is so important, but is so intangible. Something so important, but we can't always put our fingers on it in a way that we would understand. And it's this gift of connection. It's a gift of connection that is always forged in the authentic church of Jesus Christ. The gift of connection is always forged in the authentic church of Jesus Christ. So if the best defense is a good offense, I'll tell you, the best offense is this gift of connection. Connection to Jesus and connection with one another in the body of Christ. The way I see this in the subtext is I see that it's born out of Peter's own life experience. Peter, the apostle. Peter, and it's nothing abstract, it's nothing intellectual, because here's the deal. This is Peter's testimony that the gift of connection is the best offense. This is Peter's testimony to us. You have a testimony. You have a testimony. Everything that you do, everything that you say, everything that you are grows out of your story. That is your testimony. Your life testifies to someone or something. So I can't ask you, do you have a testimony? Because you have a testimony. The question is this, does your testimony point to Jesus? You have a testimony. But here's the question, does your testimony point to Jesus? And that's where Peter is at this point in his life. Remember Peter, Jesus gave him the name, the nickname Peter. His name was Simon, normal, common Jewish name. He was given the name Peter. It's kin to the word for rock. It's almost like, do you have somebody in your circle who always gives nicknames to all the people? I don't think Jesus always gave nicknames, but sometimes he did. He gave Peter this nickname, what we would say maybe Rocky. Rocky. When we say Rocky, sometimes we think that means like unsettled. And parts of Peter's life were pretty unsettled. You know, he was always bold. He was always the first one to blurt out whatever he was thinking. Sometimes it was right. Matthew 16 tells us that when Jesus gathered his 12 around him and they had been teaching and preaching publicly, and yet no one had quite gotten on to who Jesus was and what he wanted to do in the world, and Jesus asked some questions. Like they had had lecture, and then this was like lab time. And so who do the people, he asked the 12, who do all the people say that I am? And everybody had an answer. Some people say you're a prophet. Some people say this. And then Jesus hones in. I'm not so interested in knowing who they say I am. What I want to know, you're the inner circle. Who do you say? Who do you say that I am? And you know how when you get confronted with a question that's a little awkward, they all looked at their papers, or they fidgeted with their shoes, and they looked, they traded glances. Nobody wanted to meet Jesus in the eye except Peter. And Peter said it. He may have blurted it out, but in this moment, he was right. You are the Christ, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus was sort of taken aback. Jesus says, Peter, we know you didn't figure that out on your own. We all know, right, that you ain't that smart. And let's just pause there and acknowledge that, friends. We all know we're not that smart. Jesus said to Peter, flesh and blood, human wisdom. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. The Spirit revealed that to you. The Spirit of my Father revealed it to you. And so in that moment, Jesus is building a church. And Peter, for a little bit, may have thought that he was the rock, right? They gave me the name, Rocky. He's going to build the church. What do you need to build the church? You need a rock. You need a foundation. It's going to be me. And he thumped his chest a few times. And that's probably why he missed the gift of connection. Because he thought it was an individual thing. Why does the church falter today? Because we think it's all an individual challenge. Make no mistake. The decision for faith is a decision only you can make. But friends, you rarely will make that decision in isolation. You'll make it with the testimony, with the witnesses of others around you. And then when you do choose to follow Jesus, when you do choose to receive that gift of salvation, if you want to hold it all the way to the end, then friends, you've got to live it locked arms. You've got to live it with the gift of connection. I think it's an individual challenge. We're preoccupied with the individual. And I'll tell you this is a lesson Peter learned. The moment we become spiritual consumers is the moment we devour our spiritual connection. That comes out of the focus on the individual. The moment we become spiritual consumers, we devour our spiritual connection. I think Peter is so convinced of connection because it has been literally forged out of him, burned out of him by his own missteps, by his own denial of even knowing Jesus, and then by that face-to-face reinstatement, that face-to-face experience of forgiveness he had with Jesus on the Sea of Galilee after the resurrection. When Jesus literally said to him, "Feed my sheep, Peter, grow up, be a shepherd, be an elder. Don't worry about Peter anymore. Invest in the lives of others around you. Feed my sheep. Receive the gift of connection." There are three sections in this little passage we read this morning, and each one of them highlights the gift of connection in a different way. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. To the elders among you. And we're going to start. So 1 through 4 talks about the elders, and then 5 through 7 talks about those who are younger. So I'd like you to stand up and let's sort older over here and younger over here. No, nobody wants to do that. Let me just say as a kind of a precursor, as a caveat going into this, you are older than some people here, and you are younger than some people here. Now, there are a few of you who represent the very extremes. Now, I won't call on who I think it might be because it would embarrass me and you both. But you are older, you are an elder. To some people here, you are an elder. I don't care if you're 30. Because there are people in this room who are not yet 30, and they are looking to you. So this isn't about like Gen X versus millennials versus all that. Let's just cut through that. I almost said the last word that I shouldn't say in church. Let's just cut through it because that's not biblical. That's sociological. And the church will falter and break down every time we attempt to lean on the sociological and not on the spiritual. So there are people, there's some elders. There are people looking at you. And then for those who are younger, again, let's look around. Most of you can look around and find somebody in the room who is younger than you. If you are younger, if you can look around and see people older than you, then there's some specific instructions here. But they're all about the gift of connection. It's not dice up the church into this part and this part and this part. It's about living together in the gift of connection. So when Peter says to the elders, in one sense, he is talking about people who simply are a little bit older, a little bit tried and true in the faith, people who have responsibility. I love the passage in the book of Acts 6. I've gone to it time and time again to read and understand how the Spirit was working, because the first five chapters of the book of Acts, man, everything is just, it's crazy good. There's blessing. There's opposition from outside, but inside the church, there is flourishing and growth, and people are being baptized. And then in Acts 6, there's this ministry that takes food to the widows who don't have resources, and something goes crosswire. And suddenly everybody's mad at everybody. My widows aren't getting as much food as your widows. And I love that because, number one, they don't just say, oh no, there's a conflict, shut the whole ministry down. It's not what they say. They stop and they pray. They ask God to direct them to elders. That doesn't use the word elders right there, but it does say we need to seek God to give us people who are full of the Spirit and known to be full of wisdom. Known to be, not just somebody who stands up and says, yeah, the Spirit has filled me with wisdom, but someone who's known to be. They have a testimony. Their life reveals a life of wisdom. And so it's not just about age, because y'all, any of you who think you might qualify under elders, let me tell you this, retirement is never mentioned in the Bible. Hate to break that to you. You may stop from a portion of your public life or of your employment, or what, but there's no retirement in the kingdom of God. Peter writes as an elder to the elders. Because if you are an elder, if you are still full of the Spirit and wisdom, you have an obligation, friends. Not a burden. Peter says, don't do it under compulsion, but willingly. But willingly. This is also so crucial, I think, for us at Good Shepherd Savannah. We don't talk a ton about this, but individualism also plays out in a sort of partisan spirit sometimes, because we recognize Good Shepherd Savannah. We are a church among churches. We are one part of a broader Church of Jesus Christ right here in our Savannah area. I mean, wake up, friends. Let's look. We meet in a building that does not belong to us. What greater reminder that we live as a church connected to other churches in our city. But we also don't make a big deal about denomination. We're connected to a denomination. We're connected to the Global Methodist Church. People ask me sometimes, we shouldn't have a denomination. There aren't denominations in the Bible. That's really an anachronistic question. What I do see in the Bible is that there are networks of churches bound together in connection over shared belief, over shared mission to witness in the world, and over shared connection to accountable leadership. That sounds like a denomination to me. No individual exists in isolation, and no church body exists in isolation. What we see in 1 Peter specifically is shared leadership. Peter is writing not just to a group of churches that he started or that he founded that are in the, if there's the Paul denomination over here and then the Peter denomination. It's not that. He's writing to anybody anywhere who will receive his leadership, because he knows they're all connected together. And Peter would say, don't listen to me. He says this, I appeal to the elders among you. I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness. He doesn't start off saying, hey, remember, I'm Peter. On this rock, they will build the church. Okay. He doesn't like flex positional authority. I think Peter would say, with you, I am a follower of Jesus. And for you, I am an elder and a shepherd. With you, I am a follower of Jesus, and for you, I'm a shepherd and an elder. I think that's what I would say if I was writing this letter. With you, I'm a follower of Jesus, and for you, I'm an elder and a pastor. What's so key here is willingness. willingness, not just for elders or rulers or pastors or directors. But we see this willingness as a key to how we shepherd one another. I made a little announcement about groups. Willing connection. We don't line everybody up in a row and say, count off 1 to 10. If you're number, all the ones go over here together, and Danny and Sally Scott are going to be your group leaders. We don't just make assignments like that. It's willingness. You got to want to be connected. It's no stick and all carrot. We want you to know the benefit of being connected, because connection is a gift. For you choose to trust one another and trust in God. And when you're connected, there's a reward, there's a promise. When the chief shepherd appears, the one who ultimately connects us all, when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive a crown of glory that will never fade away. Glory is like, you could translate that easy, it's credit. Like, you'll get the credit finally. But let me give you a hint right here. It's not credit because of anything you did. It's not credit because of anything you did. Glory is this kind of credit. Glory is the kind of credit that reflects to the Father what Jesus has imparted to you. The crown you'll get, the badge you'll get, the certificate that you will get at the end, it's not on account of what you've done. It's all on account of what Christ has done in you. Because you willingly took up the burden and the gift of connection. That's for the elders. For those who are younger, here's the gift of connection. Man, it's all about humility. In the same way you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders, all of you clothed. We hate that word submit, don't we? We should edit that out of the Bible. That's ugly. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud and shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time, and cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Here's the gift of connection to the younger. There's an old Viking proverb, a Norse proverb. It says this: age and treachery will always defeat youth and zeal. Let that sink in for a minute. Age and treachery will always defeat youth and zeal. Now, I'm going to apply that mostly to the devil, so hold on till we get to the last section about this. But here's the real point, especially for younger. Younger folks, you will wear yourself out. And this is for older people too. This is all just good. Peter knew this was all good for everybody. Here's the point. We will wear ourselves out if the focus is always on dividing and pitting people against people, because the focus then always becomes on us and not on Jesus. And that's why Peter says, submit to one another. That's why that Acts 6 resolution came. And because in the Acts 6 resolution, it was followed not with great bitterness, but with an expansion of ministry. Because everyone operated with this gift of humility, willingness to learn, willingness to stretch. And Peter says it, clothe yourself with humility. That's a theme throughout the New Testament when it comes to gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. Clothe yourself. Put it on you. Put it on you. And I notice this. It's not something that always comes up from the inside. You don't always want from the inside to have humility. Sometimes you have to be backed into it. Clothe yourself. But he says when the opportunity comes, choose it. Peter recognizes, and Peter says, clothe yourself. Peter recognizes that it is beyond me to get beyond me. That's the gift of humility, right? To get beyond me, to get beyond yourself. It is beyond you to get beyond you. And so you need Jesus' help with this. I wonder if Peter is imagining that scene at the Last Supper, when Jesus hops up from the table and he puts on the clothes of a servant. And he does what he had never done, what had never happened to anyone. The host becomes the servant and begins to wash their feet. No one wanted that to happen. Only Jesus wanted it to happen. I don't think anybody could do it. Only Jesus could do it. That's why we say, put the robe on me, Jesus. Put the robe on me, Jesus. And that's how connection helps us. Why connection helps us learn the gift of humility, because we become aware of our connection to God, and we become more aware of our connection to one another. And it takes humility to humble ourselves before God, and it takes great grace and deep connection before we'll open ourselves deeply to one another. We need a proper view, to have a proper view of each other, to have a proper view of God, and to have a proper view of ourselves. We desperately need that connection. Romans 12, Paul writes about it this way, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Know your gifts, offer them to the Lord, offer yourself to the Lord, and don't get out over your skis." The antidote to that kind of pride, the antidote that helps us get to true humility, is trusting God. Trusting God. The reward here, notice this, we pull this verse out all the time. Cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. But that's really the reward for humility, because when we trust ourselves to others and we trust ourselves to God, we can sort of live a carefree life. Isn't that a thing? There's something called a carefree boat club or something like that. You don't actually have to own the boat or clean the boat or take care. Somebody else does that. You just get to ride in it whenever you want to. That's simplifying that. But there's an invitation to a carefree life. If you trust God in connection with others, then you know others take care of you and Jesus takes care of you. And that's the reward for living together in the gift of connection. All right, our time's going quick. Musicians, be ready. Come on. I'll talk to you about the devil just for a second here. "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Y'all, it's connection here that beats the devil. Connection to God and connection to one another is the invitation here. That's how you beat the devil. He may be old and treacherous, and it's not youth and zeal that will beat him. Because he is on the attack. The devil even knows that the best defense is a good offense, right? That's why the Bible tells us he's prowling around. He's looking for those who he will destroy. He is on the attack. He is roaring. He is making noise. He is hungry and motivated to stop you, and not just stop you, but kill you. And if we'll contend well, it's when we live in that gift of connection. Again, my plea for you to be in smaller groups or Bible studies or prayer groups or you name it, not just to be in a crowd, kind of stoic or cynical about what's going on, but to actually be in each other's lives. Peter would imagine the Roman soldiers who would link their shields together like a turtle shell, protecting one another. He would imagine that Christians could say, "Who has my back?" And friends, this is so crucial for us, because the devil's target, almost always, the devil's first target, if he wants to destroy, is to destroy connection. To destroy the gift of connection. So beat him from the start by staying connected. All right, questions as we wrap up. Number one, do you have a connection to Jesus? Friends, do you know that Jesus came as Christ, the Son of the living God? Do you know that Jesus came to live a perfect, sinless life, to offer that life in sacrifice for you, to forgive your sins and bring you to a place of new life? And His resurrection His resurrection is reality, and his resurrection reminds you of what's possible for you when you're connected to him. Are you connected to Jesus? Whether you are younger or older, are you aware that you are in connection with others in the church? As an elder, are you offering yourself willingly to others? As a younger, is your heart open with humility to the counsel of others? Are you tempted to break the connection? If you do, you give the devil an easy win. Finally, where do you face challenge today? And where do you need to know someone is connected to you in the church? Someone is connected to you in Christ? We'll have a prayer team up here in the front. If you know there's a moment, something right now in your life that there's a challenge and you need to know you're connected, maybe just in this moment, that prayer minister would be the one to help you know that there's a connection to God and to the church. Friends, let's receive together the gift of connection offered to us by Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we know that you've offered yourself for us. So give us the grace to strengthen one another, to receive from one another, to grow in confidence and in humility, to stay connected and beat back the plans of the enemy, so that this church, the church that you are building, is the church that would thrive and bring honor and glory through Jesus. Amen.